This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. Do I have to tell you that rats are a menace, from the bubonic plague to city streets? But you know that rats, at times, sometimes they're helpful, like when testing out new drugs. And now a new project called Apopo in Tanzania has put rats to work. They've trained the African giant pouched rat to detect landmines and even tuberculosis using its powerful sense of smell. And it turns out our old foe, the common brown rat, with the right training, could soon be joining a detective squad in the Netherlands. What makes rats such a good employee? Aaron Blaisdell is a professor of comparative psychology, University of California in L.A., and has found the rat is a lot smarter than we give it credit for. Welcome to Science Friday.
Oh, thank you, Ira. It's a pleasure to be here.
Monique Hammerschlag is an inspector with the Dutch National Police. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Aaron, what evidence do we have that rats are smart?
Well, they've always been really good in basic learning experiments, like Pavlovian conditioning, Skinnerian conditioning, things like that. But we increasingly understand that some of the core elements of even what we think of as human-like cognition are even present in rats.
Huh. Monique, what are you teaching rats to do for the Dutch National Police?
Well, this particular group I'm working with now, they are being trained to make a discrimination between a certain brand cigarette and counterfeit and other brands. And they're already quite good at it.
They're that good? How, just by the sense of smell?
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have to actually smoke. They just smell the cigarette and, I wouldn't allow it.
And how do you teach them to do that?
Well, that's quite easy. I start with little test tubes, plastic test tubes, and I put small pieces of cigarette in, and I tap them, and I make a small hole in the tap, so that some smell still can get out of the test tube. And every time the rat goes, by coincidence or some other reason, near the test tube with the brand cigarette I want them to report on, I make a clicking noise, and directly after that I feed them. And after a while they think, hey, that's nice. If I sit near that smell, I can make the lady give me food. So the rat actually thinks it's training me. And that's how we teach it. Aaron, and that's how we started when training them by hand. But it can all be done in a so-called operant chamber, which is a kind of automatic rat trainer.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what makes them so easy to train?
Well, they've got a lot of great qualities that make them so endearing. One, as I said before, they are quite intelligent, and not just learning, but also reasoning processes. But beyond that, also, they live in large groups, and so they're very social. They have a lot of the social mechanisms of behavior that are also present in, for example, primates or pack hunting dogs and wolves. And so, actually, they form a good bond with a human. If they're raised in captivity or domesticated, they will actually form a good bond. They'll come to you if you call them. They're little, cute, cuddly. I kind of think of them as little, cuddly pussycats or puppy dogs in a way.
You must work a lot with rats.
I do.
Think of them that way. Monique, why not use dogs like we see all over the place?
Yeah, well, we do use dogs, and they will never be replaced by rats, because a dog is a hunter, so you can take them to new places, and they go search for you, and they don't mind if they go to a place they've never been before. Often a rat will freeze first in a new place, so that's not very practical for police work. But what rats can do very well is smell samples, which is a bit of a boring job and not very interesting for dogs. So I think they can supplement dogs, but really not replace them.
So you don't take rats out into the field like you would a dog on a leash?
No, I guess it can be done, but it takes a lot of training time for an animal that won't get very old, like maybe 2-3 years, and the dog gets, you can work longer with the dog. So I, no, right now we're not taking them into the field. We're taking the smell to the rat.
Aaron, how do rats compare with other animals? Could you train, let's say, a pigeon or a cat to detect the landmines?
That's a good question. Rats, as Monique had said, are great for this kind of work because they're very olfactory driven. Rodents in general have really good sense of smell. And so that makes them, similar to dogs, very useful for detecting things based on the chemical signature that's unique to that substance. Now, pigeons and other species can also be trained to do all kinds of wonderful things for humans, like the carrier pigeons carrying messages. And there were even a few decorated pigeons decorated with medals back in World War I for some of the feats they made of flights they made out of enemy territory back home.
Mm-hmm. Monique, now rats are nocturnal, so how does this affect your work with them?
I work in the dark. when I come to the office in the morning, I kill the lights. We only leave a small light on, so I can see something, and the rats are comfortable because, well, they don't see very well in the light, and it's actually harmful to them, bright light. So we like them to be comfortable, so we work in the dark, semi-dark. And at night when I go home, I put on the lights again and the rats go to sleep.
This project in Tanzania with the trained giant pouched rat to detect landmines and tuberculosis, are these the same kind of rats?
No, it's a different species. I think they might actually be more closely related to the hamster. They also have these big pouches, which is very practical because when you train them, they don't get full. Whereas my rats, they immediately eat their reward, and the pouched rats just store it, and they start eating after the work. So that's really practical. But there are different species. My rat is the Rattus norvegicus, the brown rat, and the other one is the Chrysotomys gambianus, and it's a different species. It's much bigger also. It's much larger.
Will your rats be working for the police anytime soon?
Well, the group we're working with now is a test group. But maybe their children will, yeah.
Yeah. Aaron, how about the big rats we see on the streets here in New York? And I'm thinking of the four-legged kind. I think we could turn them into honest workers?
It could happen. They are the same species as what we work with in the lab, Rattus norvegicus. And so they really came up to the New World, to the Americas, with the Europeans when they were coming in their ships. So they really are the same strain as what we've been working with in the laboratory.
Let me ask both of you, can you train a rat to take voice commands, to understand, like a dog, fetch, sit, roll over, that sort of thing?
To some degree, yes, they can be trained to use vocal cues. So basically they learn a particular signature of something you're saying, like the name that you've given to the rat, and a few other commands. I don't know to the extent of how many of these unique vocal cues rats can learn, but based on my understanding of how they can learn lots of associations between other kind of stimuli, such as odors and even visual cues, I imagine they can learn dozens at least.
Monique, do you have names for your rats?
Yes, they do have names. They're named after people that helped me in the first project, because a few years ago I had another group. And they respond to their names. When I call, for example, Ed comes out. Yeah.
Do you get as close personally to your rat as a lovable cat or a dog?
Yeah, well, I must admit I'm a very sentimental detective. So I really love the guys, and I feel attached to them. Mm. And yeah, they are very, very nice animals, very friendly. They never bite, they never do, yeah.
It's so, you know, it's so
bad things.
It's so different than, you know, here living in New York and I'm sure other big cities where we see rats totally in a different light, so to speak, and in reality.
Hear a different context. And they are the wild living rats of the same species. They are difficult. You can't just tame them. My breeder has bred a half wild into our bloodline, and the children were still very fierce and easy at escaping from cages. And the rats I have now, they are like the great-grandchildren of this wild one. Yeah.
I heard one rat expert say that the wild rats, like in New York, are like the wolves are to dogs. You know, they're...
I don't know.
I don't know if it's quite that dramatic a difference, actually, but because the rats haven't gone under the same number of generations of domestication in captivity. But, you know, there's some similarities there,
Do you have pet rats, Aaron?
On and off. Right now I have two pets that are my daughters, Maggie and Helen. And so until my pets go to college, I'm not having any other pets in the house.
same for you, Monique. Do you have pets?
Right now, I don't, but at the moment that this group will retire, I guess I'll take them home. Yeah.
But they don't live that long, do they, if you get really attached to them?
They live
a
couple of years.
No, it's like 2-3 years, yeah. That's the hard thing about training rats and working with them. You have to say goodbye rather fast, yeah.
Yeah. But you can get sentimental about rats, and I'm sure our listeners will tell us that they have pet rats, because I know a few people who do, and they've been there. They speak so highly of them.
I think they make a much better pet than a hamster, I believe. I think they really form a bond with the human who they live with.
Hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah.
All right. That's a good note to leave on. I want to thank both of you for taking time to be with us today. Aaron Blaisdell is a professor of comparative psychology at UCLA. Monique Hammerschlag is an inspector with the Dutch National Police. Monique, good luck with training your rats.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.